Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Rosemary. Abraham. When you think of Abraham, what do you think of? Does anyone think of a song? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right hand. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Here we go. Right arm, right leg, turn around. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. There we go. Brilliant. Thank you. We are starting a series, and this hopefully will all make sense. We're starting a series on encounters with God, and starting with Abraham, and looking at how God's encounter with Abraham, with Hagar, with Sarah, with Abraham and Isaac, shaped a nation and their understanding of who God was, and also speaks to us now of who God is today. Imagine coming from a place of total darkness, a place of not knowing anything about God, maybe growing up in a communist nation where all religion was banned. Maybe having lived in the South American rainforests where the Bible had never arrived or been presented. Or maybe growing up as a child in Western Europe with no contact with the church. All you have to understand who God is your conscience, creation, and maybe circumstances. If it's the sun shines, God is pleased. If it rains, God is angry. A sense of who is God is often a bit of guesswork. And in the opening stories of the Bible, we have four stories which suggest that there is a bit of guessing going on about how did people relate to God. We have, after creation and the wonderful Garden of Eden that God puts his people in, and this wonderful image, we have Adam and Eve and their struggle to trust. Does God really have my best interests at heart? We have Cain and Abel and their struggle to understand what sort of offering would please God, and it ends in violence and killing. We have the story of Noah, and it seems that all men and women simply going their own way, and evil has filled the earth. And then we have Babel, where men and women try and be like God by building the tower so that they are as high as the heavens. There's a sense of guessing. Who is God? And how do I relate to him? Gone are that image. Is that image of the Garden of Eden, of man walking with God. And now is this sense of being lost. On my application for Baptist ministry, I was asked to give 250 words as to what is the essence of the Christian gospel. And I wondered for a minute, and I wondered whether I should include Abraham and the nation of Israel. Maybe that's a question for you. Because here at the start of Genesis 12, we start to see God's salvation plan re-emerging. Here is God, for the first time, making a new beginning, a new relationship with a God who can be known. With a God who can be known. Before those other stories, God's vague, we're distant. But here God says, through relationship with one man, I'm going to start to reveal once again who I am and how you can relate to me. And so, God calls Abraham to a new start, just as God is having a new start with his relationship with humanity. And he asks him to leave everything and go to a land that he will show him. He promises to bless him and make his name great. He promises to bless the world through Abraham. And in Abraham's descendants, God will help us to know how to relate to God. God gives them a specific land. There's a picture of Moses overseeing a land that is fertile, that the people would eventually go into. He gives them a specific set of instructions, the Torah, so that the people have moral guidelines. You've got an idea what's right from wrong. He makes a covenant. God promises to Abraham and to his people that he will relate to them in a particular way, that they can be confident that God will not break his promise and he will relate like that. God is not schizophrenic. One thing, one day like this, another day like that. God is a covenant God who makes his promises. And he gives them the temple and the priesthood, and so that they can know how to be right with God, to be forgiven when they've done things wrong. Liz talked about wanting to have a pure heart. How, when we've blown it, can we be made right with God again? And he gives them the prophets and ultimately the promise of a Messiah who will come and save the whole world. And so, in the relationship with Abraham, just like in the song, which gives you actions to follow, in watching the relationship of God with Abraham, we're given actions, ways, principles that help us to know what it is to relate to God. And so God starts his new salvation plan. And I think there are three principles that we can learn from the call of Abraham. I want to argue that it is through faith that we please God and experience his blessing. It is through faith. That relationship with God is a pilgrimage. Sometimes more about the journey than as the arrival. And that God blesses us. Why? So that we can be a blessing to the whole world. So, God said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's house, and I will show you to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Abraham could have heard that and done nothing with it. But because he has faith, what do we see? Abraham walks into God's blessing. In the New Testament, we see these, these scriptures that justify. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered about this matter? In fact, Abraham was justified by works. He had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It was that he believed that God was calling him, and he did something with it. So I ask again, Paul says, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law or by believing what you've heard? So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. This sense of faith, that's what pleases God. Having faith and acting upon it. Having faith, trusting and obeying. You see, you might say, well, how does that work? Well, if you believe that God answers prayer and you pray, undoubtedly you'll be blessed with prayers that are answered in one way or another. Maybe this morning you wondered about whether you should come to worship, but you believed the command of God to come worship. And as we've sung, your spirit has already been lifted. Without faith, you would not have experienced God's blessing as you already have this morning, perhaps. Boy, Duncan, you're just talking about doing things. Isn't this works? What about the God who says, obey the Sabbath, rest, stop work? It's a very difficult one sometimes. And trust me, and yet, in obedience to God, we walk into his blessing as he refreshes us, gives us new perspective, opens our imaginations. Or what about when we hear, like Abraham, the quiet voice of God speaking to us, prompting us? Somebody who came on the Alpha course talked about waking up in the night and hearing God in a dream say to him, I want you to watch this particular film. He was full of anxiety. But as he woke up and he put the film on, he had peace. And from 4 till 6 a.m., he watched this film where God revealed how gracious he was to him. By being obedient, by believing that God was speaking. Just recently, I had a moment in my work life where someone rang me and said, Duncan, you know that stable you've erected at the bottom of Town Street? It needs to come down today. So, oh, yes, very good. I need to get it down. But I needed two people, and everyone I asked couldn't come that day. Paul was watching a pantomime in Canterbury. How unfortunate. Evan was dealing with horses in a stable. And I just felt God say, go, and I'll send you someone when you need them. So I walked to Town Street and I started to collect all the different things, and it was about 45 minutes I'd not seen someone, and I got to the point where I had to lift the roof off the stable, which was a two-person job, even for someone as strong and powerful as I am. And I turned around and there was Johnny Bell, a young man I'd coached football 15 years ago. Hello, Duncan. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm actually putting this stable down. Have you got 2 minutes? Of course I have. And we put the stable down. And he said to me, Duncan, what would you have done if I hadn't come? Well, Johnny, I have to say, I prayed that God would send someone. And I felt he would. And you are that person. He went, oh, interesting. But sometimes faith takes a leap of faith to walk in to what God has for you. So let's indulge ourselves for a moment by watching one of those most famous of clips on faith. Or hope it should just come on the PowerPoint. If we go back a couple. Is it doing it? There we go. Hoping there's some volume. Thank you. doesn't remember that. So, sometimes faith takes a leap. But it's a leap into what God has for us. And so we can learn a principle from Abraham that we need faith to walk into the good things of God. We need faith. And what really pleases God is not our works, but our willingness to believe and obey. The second principle here is that we're a pilgrim people. We have a pilgrim faith. And what I want to say by that is that we encounter God on the journey. But we may not arrive fully at the destination. And so we see in Abraham, the story, the Lord appeared to Abraham, to your offspring, I will give you the land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Abraham celebrated his time. From there he went towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. God was showing him a land, but actually Abraham hardly settled. And the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in this country and not their own. And they'll be enslaved and mistreated before coming back here. There's a sense that God had set him off on something which the fulfillment would be a long way. We see the journey of Abraham here as he goes from Haran and he goes into the promised land. He sees it, he meets with God, he envisions, he dreams what it will be like. He builds altars, what to celebrate, his experiences and encounters with God. He's enjoying the journey of being a pilgrim person. But then he has to go into Egypt, interestingly, just like his descendants will follow up later and before coming back. I had a little thought that Abraham's promise was really fulfilled in Jesus 2,000 years later. He was told, go into this land, I will make your descendants, I will bless you and bless all the nations. In 4024, what do you think will be the fulfillment of what you're doing today? Are we living as part of a big story? Are we living as part of God's story? Abraham's journey was setting the scene for something which would happen many years later. In the same way, our lives, our pilgrim lives, that will produce fruit many years later because of the choices we make. Christianity is full of pilgrims. Martin Luther King, of course, famously. Moses, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. We were in the classroom of year nines on Tuesday and we were talking about this story. And they said, well, why did Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego not just say to the ruler Nebuchadnezzar, I'll bow down to the statue and then we'll move on? They said, no, they trusted in God's goodness because they were lovers of him. They were pilgrim people. And you know what? We, 3,200 years later, are now telling their story because of what they chose to do in having faith and believing God. Our lives will echo into the future. Be encouraged. We're pilgrim people. And the third principle is this. We are blessed to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God wants to bless us. Why? Well, because he loves us. But so that you and I can be a blessing to his world. That through Abraham, all nations of the world would be blessed. And they say, don't they, that the church is the only organisation that exists for its non-members. Abram and his family would be a blessing to the whole world. And we see this picked up in Isaiah. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the survivors of Israel? I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Abraham's descendants were a planting in the land to bless the whole world. How? Through the world seeing a land that was prosperous, running with milk and honey. Through a moral law that showed the world how to live with one another. Through the temple and the sacrificial system, so that people knew how to get right with God. Through the prophets who proclaimed the one who would make them right as Jesus came into the world. A light to the nations. And today, our church is called to be that organisation that exists for its non-members, that exists to bless the whole world. Think of Crag, the allotments. Think of Drop-In. Think of the fact that we have a room here that we give for hidden homeless so that they can go out Wednesdays and Saturdays and look after people who have no food. I'm going to promise you that room's a mess, and sometimes that room smells, and sometimes that room's a bit of a headache to us. But it's our opportunity, isn't it? We have a car park which we let other people use. Why? Because this is what we want. We want to be a blessing so the nursery don't have to park unsafely on the roadside. So the church called to be a blessing, but also our lives individually. Think about the food in your pantry and how you can share it. Think about your home and how you can welcome people in. Think about your skills and how you can help your neighbour, and your hobbies and how you can build friendship with others through them. How are we being a sign of God's goodness, a light to the nations? And people do, believe it or not, still look to the church for a moral compass. A girl called Lucy told her story at a conference recently. She stood up and said, I was a very devout Christian teenager. I didn't drink when my friends got drunk. I never swore when my friends were cursing. Instead, I prayed for my friends. I went to church all the time. I tried to be generous with my money. And I wanted my friends to come to faith. And I had friends, but they always used to call me Holy Lucy. And eventually I got worn down by this title, Holy Lucy. And I decided, well, maybe it'd be better to be a bit more part of the world so that I could help them. So I started to drink and I got a little bit drunk. And I started to let a couple of expletives out. And I stopped praying so much and I stopped inviting my friends to church. And then one night I was sat in a corner of a room with a few of my friends and I was a little bit drunk and not being very sensible. And one of my friends, a non-Christian, said to me, we miss Lucy. We miss Holy Lucy. Because Holy Lucy used to remind us of what's good. And even though we didn't follow Holy Lucy, Holy Lucy gave us hope and was a sign of what we could be. Bring Holy Lucy back, will you? And Lucy turned and remembered that even though Her friends weren't coming to church as she wanted. They were seeing something through her life that was a blessing to them. And so as we look at Abraham and we look at his life today, we're encouraged to take away three principles. Or at least I'm encouraging you to take away three principles. One is, it's not by works, it's by faith and believing in God that we walk and we enter into God's blessing. What's God speaking to you today? Two, it's a pilgrimage. We don't always arrive at the end destination, but your lives will carry on having an effect long after you've gone, just like Abraham. And three, God wants to bless you, that you can be a blessing to his world, his whole world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we were lost and wondering what you were like, we thank you when humankind, having turned from you, was confused and building towers like Babel, that you started a salvation plan to reveal who you are so that we could know you and relate to you, that we could find out who you are and be saved by you. Amen. We're going to enter into a time of communion. And we're going to sing a song called Remembrance. And in many ways, this is us being obedient, isn't it? Jesus said, whenever you meet, take bread, take wine, as a remembrance of what I've done for you. This is good for us to do it. Let's enter into his love as we listen or sing along to this song. Perhaps we'll remain seated as we do.